Hey, everybody. This is Pandemic Sessions, Episode 6. This one features me and Bender. In fact, we just wrapped up recording it just now. So I'm literally doing this intro right after the episode ends. I just wanted to say first, as you listen, I even mentioned at the beginning, Bender's a little, there's a little delay to him, there's a little echo. The other thing I want to mention, and I apologize if our conversations don't make sense sometimes, there was some internet trouble either on his end or my end, so there was a delay from here and there. It only happens a handful of times near the middle to the end, but it's not so distracting that you can't get the gist of what we're talking about. And what we're talking about mostly is some movies we watched, a little bit of Corona stuff that's going on with him, and then finally we get really heavy into a handful of comic series that we've been reading. So I hope you enjoy. I hope each episode is about an hour distraction from your otherwise weird days that we live in right now. So when the bomb goes off, listen and enjoy and share and all that good stuff. So here comes the bomb right now. Is your garage door open?
Yeah.
How's it feel?
Feels good.
Yeah. Yesterday was a little cold. Are you ready to start, by the way?
Yeah.
All right. We are back. And you're going to hear, and we apologize. It doesn't sound too bad in my headphones, so we'll allow it. But if you hear a little bit of an echo, Bender is hiding in his garage away from his family, but he has the garage door open enjoying the sun. So doing his best to stay healthy while trapped in isolation from the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's this is the third week in a row I haven't worn real pants.
Yeah,
it's been gym pants all the time.
I put on blue jeans a couple days ago, not for any other reason, just to do it. I was like, I'm going to wear jeans for at least 8 hours today.
Yeah, I think I might, but I think I got a little fat over this thing, so I don't know if it'll fit.
I'm staying around that hovered weight that I've lost, but I'm going to have to start putting in work or it's going to catch up to me. And that's where we're going to start, though. We caught up with Tommy, and of course, this is Bender. He is zooming in on this episode, which is episode 6 of our pandemic sessions. Like I said, the first time I get at least 3 out of the 4 hosts in one room, that will be when we'll start the numbering back. But we asked Tom how Tom's doing throughout this whole thing. So now I'm asking you, how are you doing and how's life stuck with an infant, a toddler, and a teenager? Oh, and a wife.
It's pretty terrible. I mean, I got to be honest. Jeremiah has done, my 14-year-old, he's done, he's leaps and bounds. Like, I would not be surviving without him.
He gets to take some of the attention from the other two from time to time.
Yeah, he gets up at 8 with the kids. Like, I go to work, I usually log on between 5:30 and 6, so I get a couple hours of stuff done. Then he gets up around 8 when Rachel usually goes to work, and it's him most of the day. Like, I put Harry down for a nap still, but for the most part, he keeps an eye on the kids all day long, and I wouldn't be able to work if he wasn't here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they still come in and annoy me, and Harry comes in.
Now we won't go
questions.
We won't go too into detail about where or anything. But Rachel, your wife, does work in the medical field. Is she going into work every day?
Yes, she's got to go in every day. Her hours have been cut due to the fact that, like, most people aren't going to the doctor just for, like, well visits anymore.
Right, and they're cutting back on how many are allowed to be in at the day anyway. Right.
Yeah. Can you hear my dog?
I don't know. Maybe no more so than I can hear Fortnite in the background. Okay, so,
she goes in every day, that's the worst part, is the fact that it's just stressful for her because she exposes herself on a daily basis. Like, 2 days a week, she's at the hospital office, and that's a dangerous one. So basically, we were isolating for the most part before, like, a week before everybody else, because I was just afraid that she was going to bring it home and give it to somebody, and then I would give it to other people.
Now, has she said what the hospital looks like?
She said it's bad. They're setting up they're setting up like emergency tents outside in different locations. Mercy St. Luke's is doing it, and she got an email last night that said that the governor is requesting anyone with any sort of medical training, whether it's in that field or not, to step up. And she is a risk because she still has pretty severe asthma. And I was like, I don't think you should step up. And if they try to make you, I think you should quit.
Well, I got two things, and one of them we'll jump into in a little bit. But one, I've often wondered, a friend of the show and personal friend, John Shannon, you know, he's a real estate person, and now he's just recently moved to Denver. He's a nurse also. You know, he was
I know he's a nurse, but I thought he's in Ohio, right?
They're in the process of moving to Denver. She took a very good job in Denver with the hospital there, and it's closer. Her family's from there, and he really had no family anywhere. Okay. So, he's got family down in Arkansas and Springfield, but no family where they were living close to him, so it doesn't matter to him. So he has moved there. Cool. Yeah. And then, I don't know if this is going to make it to the podcast or anything, but me, a friend of the show and longest friend I own or have, Big D, and then Hikus, and then Stan, multiple guests on the show, Stan, we started a Zoom virtual D&D game yesterday. And,
oh, really?
Well, we started the first session of deciding what kind of characters they're going to make and stuff, but then we're also, I think when we start the game, we're going to record it just to see. I don't know that we'll release it. But if it's funny, maybe. But I
thought about that, seeing if maybe you wanted to try something. I've never done D&D, so I don't know much about it.
Well, we would do it. I mean, it's easy. Yeah. We're going to do it at Saturdays at around 3 now. So is okay. But back to what we were talking about, Stan. I asked him how he was doing because he's immunocompromised. He can't. Yeah. He's essentially his wife. He said if his wife had her way, she'd put a plastic seal around the bedroom and not let him out. But he can't leave his house. He goes outside, obviously, to get some air. But he can't be around people whatsoever because he's for the rest of his life is going to be immunocompromised.
Yeah.
And he said he hopes by the time this is all done and by August, he said he hopes to have his medicine dialed back to where he's not on so much medicine and he can get back out into the real world. But he's doing great. He's off of his restricted weight program and stuff, so he's starting to do a little bit of body lifting again, but in his house. But he seems to be in great spirits, so it's nice to hear from him.
Well, that's awesome. Well, he's always an upbeat guy. Yeah, and my boss at work had a kidney. He was on a kidney list, and like Saturday before everything hit the fan, he had to drop everything and drive to Nebraska to get a kidney.
Wow.
And he was supposed to stay in the hospital for like 2 weeks. And they're like, with everything going on, they're like, you're actually good enough to go home, so we want you to just go home.
Yeah.
Less of a risk.
Yeah, of all things, the germs at home are not as bad as what's here.
Exactly.
Well, anyway,
that's cool though.
Yeah, let's talk about. Well, I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about Corona a little bit and why we're about to talk about this stuff. But let's talk about some of the stuff that you're coping to get through this. And I have a feeling that you're probably like me. You've probably been reading a lot the last couple weeks.
I have been reading a little bit more than I was. What I haven't been able to do is watch much TV because I have to work all day, and then by the time I'm done, it was real nice last week all week, so the kids need to be out of the house. So we get out of the house, and then by the time we get back in, make dinner, I'm either exhausted or we watch that fucking Outlander show that Rachel loves so much. Which it's not bad. It's not a bad show, but there's other shit I'd rather watch.
You went on record how much you like it on this show, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's a good show, but it's an hour long, and I'm like, man, there's other shit I want to knock out too. So I've been trying to do that, and when I do get to watch things, I've been watching the Clone Wars, or not Clone Wars, the other Star Wars, Rebels.
Okay.
I'm gonna finish that off, and then I'm going to go back and rewatch all of Clone Wars.
Well, but we'll get into some reading stuff here in a second. Since you segued into watching stuff, I know we both...
Oh, sorry.
No, I know we both watched Onward in the last couple days. I watched it last night.
Did you tear up a little?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm also someone who, for the most part, was raised a significant amount by his brother. He was the male figure in my life, so that really hit me. Just a good movie. Just a good movie all the way.
And that's what I was. It started off kind of okay, and then like
it
the
took,
development by the end. I was like, holy shit, this takes the cake for tearjerkers. I think
45 minutes into it, I was doubting that I was going to tear up. I was like, I don't know what people are talking about. Now I still enjoyed it because it is a very heavily D&D influenced movie.
Yeah,
they're on a quest, and his brother is a complete role playing game nerd. So. Yeah. So I was like, well, this is still fun, but people are insane if they think. And then, man, that last 15 minutes,
it's they really turn on the emotional waterworks.
It's rough. It's rough. I teared up actually twice watching something. That one last night, twice in one day. And then yesterday morning, I teared up because Missy had been waiting for the last two episodes of Hawaii Five-0, and we watched them.
Uh-huh.
And that was another one. I was watching the episode, and they did a good job of – I'd like to know if they planned to end it, because in the last two episodes, they really rushed to the ending. But the last scene – because I always think of this. This is the way I think of it. Once, you know, you bond with these characters. But then I also think when I see these characters crying when they're saying bye, I'm wondering if the tears are real because, you know, there's people who have been on the show for 7-8 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, oh, man, they're really upset. So it really upsets me. So tears got up in a little bit. And it was the big black guy that was he was the cook in Waiting, and he's been, or he was the dishwasher in Waiting, and he's been in all kinds of things. Big guy. His tears are what made me have tears. And one scene, in one part of the goodbye, he goes, "Oh man!" And he turned around, and I was like, "I wonder if that was real." And that got me teared up. but
at least you will hope so.
Yeah. But Onward, though, Onward was. I mean, it's a Pixar film, right? So,
Made. Like $40 million out of the gate, and they knew they weren't going to make any more money, so they went ahead and released.
Yeah, because of what's going on.
But
it would have made a shit ton of money. I mean,
because the reviews were real solid, and it just I think it would have made even more than that had it not came out the weekend before that.
Yeah,
because that weekend it came out was the one where they were, you know, certain states were saying like, all right, we're going to start shutting this down, but. Yeah, man, that ending, like, I don't want to ruin it, but, like, when his brother's like, no, you go ahead, and he's like, no, I've had you, I was like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, that was, for lack of a better term, and it's not too spoilery, that was a little bit of a twist on how it ended. I mean, you went the whole thing, the one goal, and then the main character said, I've been after this the whole movie, but I'm going to step back and not do it. But that was...
Yeah, it was great.
Name a Pixar movie that didn't get a good review.
Is Cars a Pixar movie? I don't know.
But Cars 1 was massive. I don't know that Cars 3 got a great review. I don't know.
No, I don't think they haven't. Dinosaur?
I don't even know what was Dinosaur. I don't know.
Is it The Good Dinosaur?
I don't think that's Pixar.
It's not very good. Huh?
I don't think that's Pixar.
I think it is. I'll Google it. It's not a bad movie. It's just not a great movie.
Now,
if it is a Pixar, that's their worst one.
Now, name a studio.
We watch Wall-E a lot.
I was going to say, name a studio that you've cried at more of the films they've put out than Pixar.
No, none.
You can't do
The Good Dinosaur is a Pixar film.
Oh, it is.
That's probably the worst one. It's 6.7 on IMDb, 76% of Rotten Tomatoes.
It started with Up, and then the Toy Story sequels, like Toy Story 3, and then it just every film after Pixar like tugs on the heartstrings more than any franchise out there.
I didn't really care for Toy Story 4 that much though, which I know you said you didn't watch.
I didn't watch it. I did have no interest in watching it. Is the thing? I mean,
The ending was. Growth for the characters, like Woody was always holding on to the past, and he finally accepts that, you know, kids grow up, moving on, and stuff. I just didn't care for him.
Yeah.
I didn't like, you know, I guess it was a good message that change is constant and it's okay for things to change, but they broke up the band and I didn't like that.
Now there was a, it's best sometimes just leave it as is. Don't give us a resolution.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point in that is an escape reality with a sort of a lesson, but I don't need that heavy of a lesson out of it.
Now,
you know, I don't need that much reality in my Pixar movies.
It has. Did the movie Soul come out? That's a Pixar film.
It's not out yet. I think it's supposed to come out. I think it's supposed to come out this summer. It's probably pushed back.
Yeah, June 19th is its scheduled release date. Because I remember seeing that.
I think that's Jazz one. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and the original trailer you didn't get much of, so you don't really know what it's about. But I was about to say, if that one came out, that one did not make much noise. But it makes sense that it's not out. It's just those trailers started last year, so.
Yeah, did you see the schedule for like MCU and everything's almost everything's pushed back a year.
No,
Widow's not coming out in November now.
Yeah, that sucks because they want that in the theater. I mean, they're not. Yeah. They allowed us to get free money or free viewing for Onward, and they're doing some other stuff that way. But there's no way they're not going to let that cash cow of Marvel go.
No, and then there was rumors that they were going to let Mulan go to Disney Plus, but
I'm okay with that.
Pushing that back to July now too, because apparently of all the, like the live action retellings of like the Disney princess stories, that's apparently the best one so far.
Oh,
like review
one. Okay. Well, but I mean, it's
I haven't watched. There's not one of those live action Disney movies that I've liked so far.
That you've watched or liked?
Like Aladdin was supposed to be good, and I hated it.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of them. If I'm going to watch them, it's probably whatever Jon Favreau directs, but still, I don't want to watch them. I have no interest in watching Lion King. Why do I want to watch CG animals when it was a CG movie to begin with?
Yeah, that was my thing. You're like, oh, it's a lot of action. Like, no, it's not.
No, it's fake. Back in the 70s.
Turning to those lions to like talk like Mr. Ed with peanut butter on their mouths. It's not fucking live action.
There's two options to watch live action Big Cats right now. You can go back and watch that movie from the 70s where the whole family was attacked, including the actress. I can't think of her name. She was a kid in Malta.
Jodie Foster? No,
not Jodie Foster. It's
what are you talking about though?
Yeah, but or Tiger King right now on Netflix. That's your two live action Big Cats.
I've even been slacking on that. I think I've only watched 3 episodes of that. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah, I dug it a lot
as much as everyone else did.
Well, Brendan Schaub of stand-up comic and Fighter and a Kid, UFC, all that stuff, he loved it as much as I did when it came out. And he's even this week on his podcast, we're like, I'm over it. People stop talking about it. Let's go to something else. Yeah. What's next? We've watched
the meme game in this whole. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I don't mind.
No. We're staying on the watch thing because I go ahead and finish what you're saying.
I watched last night The Good Boys made its debut on HBO as well. And
yeah, I saw that.
That's that Seth Rogen film where the kids are young and it's probably not as funny as I wanted it to be, but still so damn funny that you should watch it. I mean, I think the most the funny things that were blatantly funny were, yeah, they landed. But what made it the better to me is all of the jokes that were throwaway jokes that so Kaylin watched it and she laughed, but she didn't laugh at some of the jokes that Missy and I laughed at, like just them misusing words and misusing what things are. Like he goes, do you even have insurance? He goes, I don't think I do. I know I have a deductible, but I don't think that's the same thing. And just mispronouncing what they're saying and stuff. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's well worth watching. We also go ahead.
Did you watch The Long Shot with Seth Rogen and Charlize
Theron? Oh, that's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I watched it like 2 weeks ago, me and Rachel.
I've watched it probably three times.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
I generally don't like Seth Rogen movies too much, but that's a solid movie. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. It was funny as shit.
Yeah, I just watch it if it's on and in the background. I'm like, oh, this is worth putting on. So we check it out.
There's good comedy, and it's not too over the top and ridiculous like some of his younger stuff. I guess the older he gets, the more the more mature his comedy's still immature, but it's not constant immaturity, you know, like the dick jokes, I guess, land better.
Yeah.
Because there's fewer of them.
Now we have we did watch I was gonna say one thing we're gonna probably watch is on a new release on Netflix has another new movie, Coffee and Kareem. It's Ed Helms. It's got Tashi B. Henson in it as well. It's okay. She's dating Ed Helms, who's a police officer, but he's a crossing guard, and her son is the Kareem, and he does not like Ed Helms, and so he's going to go get a gangster to beat him up, and he witnesses a murder, and Ed Helms comes in, and so they're the gangsters are after him, and Ed Helms is an awful cop, so you know, so it's a funny movie. But I also saw, and I haven't watched this yet, and I don't know why this franchise is so successful, because they're so. I don't know that they're so bad, but they're definitely cheesy. And that's those Angel or Fallen movies. Angel Has Fallen with Clive Owen or Gerard Butler. It's Gerard Butler, right?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah. And so
is
the
there
new
another one.
Yeah, the newest one is on Netflix. Just came out. It came out this past year, and it's he gets framed for attacking the president. So there's all these ones of protecting the president. Now he's on the run he's framed for murdering the president, but he doesn't. Obviously, so I want to watch that one.
Is the president Aaron Eckhart still or whatever?
Is Aaron Eckhart in that one, or Aaron Eckhart is the one in the Jamie Foxx one? No, Morgan Freeman's the president in the Fallen movies. Yeah, Morgan Freeman is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, but okay. There was that Jamie.
Aaron Eckhart was. I watched the first one and it was fine.
There's the one, the Jamie Foxx one is the one, it's the same premise as the original, and that's Aaron Eckhart in that one. But, I don't know if you heard us talk about or watch it, the movie The Hunt, if you've not watched that yet, it's you have to pay for it, but that's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to watch it. I heard you guys talking about it, because that movie was never supposed to see the light of day, because
of the political stuff on it.
All you ever saw was the trailer, and then the initial, I think it was like Tucker Carlson or something had a segment on it on his show, and then the president tweeted about it, and Universal was like, you know what, this has got too much press on it, we'll just bury it. And then like 4 months later, they said they were going to release it, and then this all happened, they went ahead and released it anyways.
And it's fun. It's worth watching.
I think it would have made a lot of money had it made it to the theaters just based on the press.
It would have definitely been a profitable movie, that's for sure. Like that'd been one of those that'd been one of those $40 million films, and people would have said, "Well, that's a massive return on your investment." On that, there's a lot of celebrities in that movie, and they almost all die, which is fun.
Yeah, and the director came out and he was like, "Look, you guys are judging a movie that you haven't even nobody's watched it. Not one person's watched this movie. Yeah. So you're prematurely judging it." And then he goes, "Just watch it, and then you'll see." And then like you guys said last week. You know, it doesn't really paint anybody as the bad guy, or almost everybody's the bad guy.
Yeah, everybody's got some faults to them. That's the thing. Now, I don't even know what else we've watched. It seems like we've watched so much that it's hard to almost equate or remember, because we caught up on Ozarks.
Did you watch?
Which one? Sorry, you cut out a little bit.
You froze up on me.
Say it again.
Did you watch Knives Out? Watch the Knives Out?
No, not yet, but we want to. We really want to.
Oh, I rented it. Oh, man, it's great.
I think that...
I know you probably got a little reservations on it because Rian Johnson's the director here, but it's solid.
No, it's a good movie. I've wanted to see it since day one, and he's only bad when he's doing Star Wars.
we'll agree to disagree.
But we've been like...
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden.
Daniel Craig?
What's his name? Thank you. I had it, and then you said Clive Owen, and I kept saying Clive Owen. Daniel Craig, he does a great job, like, because he's, you know, he's still James Bond fit and big, but they do a good job of making him kind of like a bumbling, like, nerdy detective guy in it. And it's a lot of fun.
And they're doing a sequel with just him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, once you watch it, it reads like a
whodunit novel.
See that? It reads like it plays like a novel, a detective novel. Like, I think it's like Douglas and somebody. They did like The Relic and stuff like that. All those novels, where they're like one eccentric detective, and he just goes on different adventures. That's essentially what this is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good job, but like you don't catch that from the trailer. You think it's maybe more about other. That was my only complaint, I guess, is the fact that like the cops are almost non-existent in the movie altogether. And the one main cop that's in Atlanta and in that movie, Thank You for Calling or whatever, I forget his name, but he's a really solid actor, and he just kind of takes a back seat the whole time. That's all right. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
that would probably be my only complaint.
We've been an inch away every time we look for something to watch of pulling the trigger on that. Now I got a feeling because Bad Boys, the final Bad Boys movie is now available. Uh-huh. I got a feeling that if we go to rent another movie, that's the one Missy's going to move to the top because she loves the Bad Boys films.
That one's out already.
It's out for rent.
I enjoyed Bad Boys 1 was like my favorite movie all through like high school, like you know. Teenager. I still think it's a great movie.
Oh yeah. And we've
Bad Boys 2 would have been fine had they not gone to Cuba.
Yeah, we've dissected Bad Boys 2 ad nauseum on this show. Yeah. We've always talked about that. Hey, real quick, we'll segue back into reading stuff. And before we start, next Monday night I'm doing a video podcast with Ben Sawyer and Jim Owsley, who is about to announce their next Kickstarter for their Butcher Queen. They're about to announce their next Butcher Queen comic, and so they're going to come on via Skype. Nice. And
I saw they delivered. Yeah, they sent you something in the mail.
Sent me Dead Palace, which is where the character from Butcher Queen comes from. That's a short story where they got her from. So, and that's the only one of their books I haven't read. Like you and I both read the book that hardcover I bought the 1 year. At Planet Comic Con, and gosh, why is the name escaping me at this point now? But with all those cool stories, and it had the St. Louis themed stories in it and whatnot.
Yeah, it had like the bubbleheads and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I've read that. I've got the Butcher Queen bought through Comixology, so I'll read that, and then I'm going to read Dead.
It's on there?
Yes, and then I'm going to read Dead Palace before they come on. But yeah, so. I have been reading, thanks to Hoopla, who has these bonus downloads. I've just been downloading a shit ton. Like, I read War of the Realms recently, which was that's the Thor story where they attack, where the Dark Elf, what's his name?
Mal. The whole thing on there now?
Yes, it's all on there.
All right, I'm going to get that then.
I read that. I read Absolute Carnage, which it was okay. It was better than I expected. And I just read Venomverse, which was... I'm suffering on those two by I don't know what order they came out in, and it does. And if you put one in front of the other, they don't make sense either way. So,
yeah, I think Venomverse was first, and I think Absolute Carnage was second. I think Absolute Carnage spins out of Dan Slott's leaving of Amazing Spider-Man because Carnage escapes and hooks up with the Green Goblin in that.
Yeah.
At the end of Dan Slott's run and becomes the Red Goblin.
Yeah, but he's already captured and stuff in Absolute Carnage. In fact, Absolute Carnage is about some story that I have not read where Venom, I guess the god of their world, Anull, K-N-U-L-L, the god that created them all, is a bad guy trapped in a planet. And people think that it's a planet, but it's not. It's like a billion symbiotes that have encapsulated him and are keeping him imprisoned. Well, Carnage, he had two dragons that were his avatars that helped destroy world and raise worlds and stuff like that. So Venom and has a battle, and Carnage has a battle with the dragons, and one of the dragons is a dead Cletus Kasady, and it's been being kept alive by the Carnage symbiote, and it takes the form of the dragon as well. It absorbs it, and so it goes around and starts collecting anyone that has ever had a symbiote on them, has a codex in them, and it needs to go in and rip all these codexes out and in order to free the god. So Ultimate Reed Richards is helping him because he comes up with a machine that can suck the codex out without killing the person, and therefore they can try to trap them all and keep them from Carnage. But if Carnage gets to you, he can use you. So like Norman Osborn gets turned into a Carnage. I mean, he's turning everyone into Carnages, and it's up to Venom, mainly Venom, but then Spider-Man and the Avengers show up to help. And, you know, that's my problem with both Absolute Carnage and Venomverse. I don't know where the stories have gone after this, because by the end of it, yes, they defeat Carnage, but he gathered enough codexes that Null is freed. And the last scene you see is him flying on the Black Dragon, because he had a red and a Black Dragon, a Black Dragon with all these symbiote monsters around him coming with him. And so I looked up online. I was like, oh, I got to see where this story goes next. And I don't see where it's going. In fact, it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. And then in Venomverse, they find them. So they pull Venom. Doctor Strange pulls Venom into a world where everyone is a Venom, but they're being hunted by these little alien monsters that feed on symbiotes. And they don't live in a cohesive relationship with them. They completely devour them and turn into this more menacing monster. But you still can, so. If you get touched by it, you automatically turn into it. And you, what you see in your head is whatever it wants you to see. So they're hunting down Venoms, and all these heroes that still have are all kinds of different versions of Venom have to stop them. And then by the end of it, you think Dr. Doom is the big bad, who's one of these monsters, and he's trying to catch everybody. And of course, the Venoms win, and they stop them on the planet. And they all the monsters were after were the poisonous monsters. I think they're called poison. I don't even know what they're called. They were after Doctor Strange the whole time, so they could get access to other realities. And they escape, and they don't get access to Doctor Strange. And then, but at the very last, the epilogue of the book is. Dr. Doom is on his knees and says, I'm sorry, I failed you. And you look up, and it's a symbiote alien, poisonous alien transformed Thanos, and said, it's okay. Now we know there's more realities. We'll get there soon. And there's all kinds of cosmic, powerful bad guys around that are turned into bad guys. So now you've got, after these two, so after these two stories, you've got these alternate versions that are Venom symbiotes mixed with these little alien parasites that are coming to try to get into the main reality. And on the other hand, you've got this Venom or symbiote god that's trying to get to Earth to destroy Earth. So I'm assuming at some point in 2020 or 2021, because of the delay with Diamond, we're going to see these. I'm guessing they're going to kind of get to Earth at the same time. That's the only thing that seems to make sense. But it also seems like it had these cool stories, and they go nowhere. Like, you, I'm like, where are these people at? I mean, these things came out in 2019, and I don't see them anywhere.
So wait before. So your recommendation is it's fine, but you don't need to read it.
Yeah, those two, the two Spider-Man based ones, I don't think are great. The War of the Realms is okay, but has a really great ending. So that's one I would read.
Oh, I'm gonna definitely read War of the Realms. That's Jason Aaron, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he? That was like the end of his run on Thor, which was really good. I am reading. I just finished his Jason Aaron's run on Doctor Strange. Which I've never really read a Doctor Strange story, so I don't really have a lot to compare it to.
Yeah, all my reading of Doctor Strange
run here.
All my reading of Doctor Strange is when he's in
his
other
run
things.
Here is really good.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
That's the same thing. So in this, it's basically Doctor Strange is fighting these guys. They're called the Impericure, and they're a science based. Bad guy, and they jump from realm to realm, and they destroy all the magic in each realm.
Huh.
And they come to Earth, and they start. And Doctor Strange is taking them on, but he doesn't. And magic is getting weaker because they're sucking all of the magic out of Earth, and he's trying to figure out how to stop them with like old magics that nobody's used in a long time, and new magics that he's got to create himself. And then when he finally, you know, gets through that, he does it by. Releasing, you know, Doctor Strange's magic is based on he has to pay a price for everything that he does.
Yeah,
you know, he can't just cast a spell. There's a price for each spell. Well, he's been dumping all of these prices into this like, I guess, the sacrificial symbiote type thing. Also, called Mr. Mystery, I think is Mr. Misery. I'm sorry, not Mystery. And that thing becomes sentient, and he uses that to. Kill the Impericure, but then that thing gets out and takes over his buddy Wong, and then he chases him down. It's a pretty solid run, and I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's a lot of fun, and it made Doctor Strange an interesting character to me. He always kind of had like that. He just didn't seem all that interesting to me back in anything else I've ever read.
Yeah,
and this was the first time I actually liked him as a character.
Yeah, he's
pretty good.
He's always been a you've always known he's a powerful guy and always been that ex machina that always bails out heroes, or they always go to see him when there's something they desperately need. But you've never, I've never really read anything of his that he's in other than, like I said, other books. It was almost, it took the films to actually make him, you know, they always put a good writer or something. If the film comes out and it's successful, Marvel, you know, publications are always going to put out a good writer on it to make the cash in. I just started reading, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but the Ta-Nehisi Coates, who wrote Black Panther for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm guessing that's...
I think it's Ta-Nehisi.
Ta-Nehisi makes sense. I'm reading the Captain America run, the first six issues of the Captain America run, with it, and it's pretty good so far. Okay. And it's Steve McNiven art, because McNiven's art's awesome.
Yeah. I read his Black Panther run, and it was good. He gets real heavy-handed sometimes in the politics, though. And I'm like, man, I get it. You know, I'm into that world, too. But it's, sometimes I just want to read a comic book and watch people beat up bad guys.
It's a superhero. Yeah, easy on your politics. It's, I was going to make a joke on Facebook. And the only reason I'm bringing it up now, because you said he gets too heavy into something. Speaking of getting too heavy into, I saw that... through Comixology, you know, they're doing random deals because of what's going on. So all Jonathan Hickman stories are comics are 50% off. And I wanted to make a joke and share that and say, or as I like to think, the one Jonathan Hickman story is 50% off. The one long story.
Yeah, his shit's exhausting. I'm also reading, I just finished Jeff Lemire. You know, he's got the that Black Hammer series.
Yeah, and I need to catch up on that. I read the first 12, and I loved them, and then I just forgot about them.
So his world building is ridiculous, though, because he's got – I've read the first 16 issues. No, first 12, I think. First three issues, and volume four is out now. But then he's got some spinoffs. Like, he's got one called The Black Hammers, which is just World War II fighter pilots that are fighting to save a German scientist from a concentration. The Nazis are using him for advanced warfare stuff, and they got to save him from a concentration camp. And there's fire. They're in planes, and they're fighting like Russians and mech robots. It's fucking wild stuff, and it's pretty solid. But like, his world building is all over the place with that. Like, he's got spinoff standalone issues with all those characters, and this is all out of his one brain.
Yeah, and they're all different. Each character is like a different world it comes from. Like, it's vastly different.
And the complexity of, like, his world that he's creating all on his own is just, it kind of amazes me. Normally you'd see, like, you know, teams of writers come up with this stuff, and he's the one bringing all of this out.
That's like,
and I'm reading his Moon Knight run right now, which is pretty good.
I enjoyed the Moon Knight run. I liked his Moon Knight run.
Did you already read the whole thing?
Yeah, I read all of it. That was all that was available, and I think he's done. I think he left,
I think it's 18 issues.
I read all those, and I enjoyed them. It reminds me, like, you talk about one guy putting out all that work. It's like back in the day when Brian Bendis was writing 16 different books, when it was Ultimate, Powers, Ultimate Spider-Man, everything he was writing.
What I like more about Lemire versus Bendis, though, is Lemire gets to the point right away where I don't have to read 47 pages.
Yeah.
What is Bendis writing now? Is he doing Superman still?
I think he's over in DC doing stuff. I don't know what all
I think he does Superman, doesn't he?
Yeah, and there's a Batman story called Batman Universe in Hoopla that he wrote, and it's got decent reviews, so I may end up reading that. But I've read so much Batman, because Hoopla is filled with Marvel and Batman.
Yeah, it really is. I also read, did you give The Weatherman a shot, the first six issues of that?
Not yet.
You should, because the second... All right, let me caveat this. You should read it, because it's fucking fun. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
The first six issues are real fast-paced, and then the second six issues are even crazier with, like, weird monsters and fucking mechs that come out of nowhere. It's wild. It's so the first six issues are basically this guy is a weatherman. It turns out that he was a terrorist in another, but his terrorist version of himself wiped his memory. So these agents and all these, like, organizations are coming after this guy, and this agent's trying to keep him alive to get his memory back.
Oh, he's
to
stop
another terrorist attack.
It's Total Recall. It's Peter Verhoeven's movie.
Yeah. Essentially, it's that. And they're on Mars and, you know, different things like that. So, yeah, it is kind of Total Recall. And then
second, yeah, the Mars thing, that you buried that lead, the Mars thing, it's completely Total Recall.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It really is. Now that you say that, it's 100% Total Recall. But in the second six issues, they have to go back to Earth where the survivors are, like, in this – are basically people that got attacked by this disease and they survived. But the disease is like a thing type disease where it transforms into like different monsters and shit. So they're running around on Earth there, and then that the last issue, number 12, ends on a real big cliffhanger. So volume 3 is not out yet. So you do need to read it because it is a lot.
Are they both on Hoopla?
Art spectacular. Yeah, they're both on Hoopla.
I'll read them.
Volume 3 is not out yet, so
I'll read them.
You might want to wait until they finish it. Once it's all the way done, I'm going to buy it because I enjoy it.
You liked it that much? That's awesome. But, I did read the next two volumes of Immortal Hulk are on Hoopla now, so I read the next two of those. I still like it. In fact, I think it's a great story. Now that I've read the first, what I think, 18 issues of it or more, I can't remember how many. I still like it. I like it a lot, but I don't know how much I like it as a Hulk story anymore. Like, I want, even though this is the Devil Hulk that's in, spoiler alert, and it's the most menacing version of Hulk, and he's immortal, and I like the way it explains why he's immortal. I just don't know if I 100% like it as a Hulk story. I still want to see the Hulk, and it's not really the Hulk. You know?
Yeah, I read the first six issues, and I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I liked the horror element of it. But like you, I wanted more action, I guess. Like, I think when Greg Pak was writing it, it was almost too much action in the Hulk. It kind of got real goofy, over the top. And since then, they've really pulled back, and they split him off, and he wasn't with Banner, and now he's back with Banner. I don't... But this one I wanted more action out of. And I know everybody's really enjoyed it. I gave the first six a try, and the second set or volume of it is in my queue to read. I just haven't pulled the trigger on it yet.
Yeah. Well, there's at least a lot to do, and I think we're kind of in that 40-minute mark, which we'll kind of start winding down. And I don't know if you've heard all of these pandemic session ones, with the exception of the challenge episode. I always want to finish now something good, something positive that's coming out of our shelter at home, our stay at home. And that's, well, other than the fact that I'm going to play D&D with some friends again, that's another thing. I do like the fact that I've got a lot of time to catch up on these, because the thing is I still have to work through the day too, but sometimes sitting there at the table working all goddamn day, I've been breaking it up by reading about 2-3 issues in a row. Like, I'm going to use the bathroom. Yeah. I'm going to read an issue. I'm going to wrap up, take a 15-minute break, read some couple more, and then get back. So I've caught up on a lot of comics. And yeah, of course,
yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Go ahead.
They're trying to, but then I got the one in the, I've been doing that too, but then I got the 1 and 5-year-old screaming at the background. So then I got to stop, go take care of them.
You and Hummel, I think Hummel described it a little bit different than you. You both, it kind of meant with the same direction on how it's going, but he called it complete hell. Which is a little extreme for me, but
it's not that bad. It's
you both at least have though. Yeah. You both have the worst way of doing this is, or the worst thing to have to do go through this is having like a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old, and you both have that, and that's the hard. I mean, I might go insane if that were the case. Luckily, I've got a 9-year-old that's full of energy and wants to get out and do stuff. I've got a teenager, like you said, that was social and wants to do stuff, but they are only driving us crazy at night when stir crazy sets in. And it's not so much, I mean, they do drive me crazy, but it's not so much that's bothering me. It's the fact that they're driving the wife crazy. And when Missy's crazy, that means guns are coming. I mean, she starts, it's a wild west. She just starts shooting everything that moves when that happens.
Oh yeah. 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 I think it helps that Rachel goes to work and like gets out, so that when she comes home, there's a little sense of normalcy to that, so that she's like excited to see the kids and this and that. there's still that stress that she has to go to work in this.
Now,
but come home and there's that normalcy to that.
Now, has she yet said, well, John, I don't have the luxury of staying home all day like you do.
No. She's like, I have to go. I'm like, it's not like I'm just sitting here fucking watching Star versus the Forces of Evil with Vera all fucking
yeah.
Day, which, by the way, is a pretty good show.
And it's not like this is by choice. This is by I'm told to. So what else? Yeah, what else other than that reading and stuff? What else has been good for you coming out of this?
I've been working on some stuff. I got a fish tank. Remember I told you my beta died?
Yeah.
So before all this went down, I got a new beta, and I put some plants in the tank, and I got a light. So that spiraled out of control, and then I bought another fish tank and another light and another $60 of the plant. So I've been playing with the plant and fish tank for a while.
And you love fish.
I do love fish. It's driving me crazy because I have – the old tank and the new tank. The new tank has one fish in it, and then I can't go to the store and get new fish to put in the other one.
How so, come? I mean, they're still open.
Fun. So I've been like planting it and moving things around. And then I built Harrison a kitchen helper, like a little stand that he can climb up in and stand in the kitchen. And that's really like my escape is to get out into the garage and like pretend to build stuff. I'm not handy at all. I'll sit here and waste 2 hours.
So in spite of the fact that he looks so much like you, one of the other good things that's came out of this from knowing you and Rachel is the pictures of Harry have been awesome. Like the pictures that have been up on Facebook, like him at working with you at the table or snuggling. Like, ah, man, that kid's adorable. In spite of the fact that he's exactly looks like you, they're such cute pics.
Yeah, he is adorable, and Vera's. Yeah, I feel bad because you know Vera's getting like the shaft on this because she's at that age where she's
a terror.
Wants to go all the time, so like she gets yelled at a lot because she's just so energetic. And I'm like, I feel bad, but she's been pretty good. We've been doing different. Her grandma put together a scavenger hunt and dropped it off the porch. So we built that yesterday and let her run around and do that. So
that's awesome.
It's been, I guess the only good thing to come out of this is the fact that you connect with your kids more. Like me and Vera have been playing Legos together, you know, she's building different things. And so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, where normally she'd go watch her iPad or whatever. And I'd sit outside and have a beer with the neighbors. Like now we're inside and we're spending more time with the kids. So
have you guys been doing,
say when this shit's over, they're spending like 2 weeks of their
Have you guys been going on walks and stuff? Have you guys been doing walks?
Yeah, we go on walks every day, and Jeremiah's been lifting. We got a little bit of weights in the basement, so I've been teaching him how to lift. So it's been fun.
Louis, you'll be happy to know Louis losing weight because he goes on walks sometimes twice a day. He got a little pep in his step again.
Good for him. Chase is getting a little old. He goes on one walk and he goes and sleeps for the rest of the day.
Oh, Louis still does that too. He's still a lazy bastard, but he did almost a 3 mile walk a couple days ago and we thought it was going to kill him, but he was happy. Yeah. He got a little bounce in his step by the end of it. Now when it gets hot, you can't do it. He overheats quick.
No. Yeah. A little pug action in him.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's about all I've got today. I
know Hummel wants to get together, you and me, and Missy if possible. That might be a little convoluted, but I'm sure we can throw something together.
I can do it. I can set it up to where you guys see both me and Missy at the same time and you guys Skype in. Or Zoom in. That's not a problem. And I'm willing to give it a try, and if it's a shit show, we'll cut the episode short. So maybe we'll do that next.
I think we'll be all right as long as we do like we usually do, where just everybody bring one thing, and then we just go from there.
It
works much better when everybody has one thing.
That's probably a good idea. Make everybody bring one thing, and maybe that'll be the next episode. I know me and Missy will record Wednesday night after the challenge, so maybe we set it up for the next episode we all do together. I'll shoot out the text, and we'll plan something there. But
sounds good.
Otherwise, there's absolutely no one here but you to say bye.
All right. Well, hold on to your butts, everybody.
All right. Later, bud.